Good evening and welcome to Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. Tonight, a big part of being an attorney is the role that you play in selecting the jury for a trial. How do they learn that skill? Which people you include on the jury and which do you kick out of there? Tonight, we're going to talk with some folks from the MU Law School about a mock jury trial happening this weekend. We'll also hear about award-winning journalism happening from campus. KBIA and Channel 8 getting some great awards recently. We'll toot our own horn just a bit. We always like to talk about everyone that's accomplishing great things at Mizzou on Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. It's next on KBIA. Hi, and welcome to Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. I'm Darren Helwedge. This show is all about great things that are happening at the University of Missouri. And this week, part of the great things that are happening at Mizzou happens to be outstanding reporting at KBIA and KOMU. We'll brag a bit on our part of the Mizzou team as we talk with a former KBIA reporter who was part of a national Edward R. Murrow Award-winning report that you heard on KBIA. We're also going to talk with promotions manager from KOMU-TV about a slew of awards they've brought in recently. First, though, as we mentioned in the open, it's a big part of being an attorney. If you want to win your cases, you have to have a jury that's going to listen to your side of the argument. And picking those 12 women and men who hold your client's guilt or innocence in their vote is a very interesting process. And it's one that people who've never done it probably know very little about. Lawyers do, though. They know it very well. Not only what to listen to in how we talk as we're being considered as a juror, but to watch how we react. Little things like our arms being crossed or how our face is set can really send a message. Obviously, though, most lawyers aren't born with these skills. Probably even Clarence Darrow had to have somebody give him some pointers along the way. In our first segment tonight, we're going to talk about a mock jury trial that's going to be conducted tomorrow at the MU Law School. I was invited some time ago to be a part of this. I think it's going to just be a lot of fun. In a moment, we're going to visit with Judge Harold Lowenstein from his office out in Kansas City. He's going to tell us not only how the mock trial will work, but some very interesting discussion we have about the judicial system in our nation and some thoughts about it going clear back to Thomas Paine and Ben Franklin days. You know, I'm always interested in stuff like that. First, though, a couple of moments with Suzanne Flanagan from the law school about how tomorrow's event will work. Suzanne, I understand you've really been kind of the point person as far as putting this whole event together.
Well, I don't know about that, Darren. We've had some great response from the community, folks who really want to learn a little bit more about how the jury process works, maybe some people who didn't make panels and thought, hey, I'd like to know how that works.
Tell us a little bit about just how the whole day is going to work. It's going to be from 1 to 4 over there, and what all will they see?
Well, I think at first the judge is going to give them a background information on how the class worked. In other words, how he worked with the students and his wife, Wanda, who's an executive coach, worked with the students to really discern the best questions to ask. And then he will really try to make this as real life an experience as possible. And what he'll do first, of course, is swear everyone in, and then everyone gets to be themselves and answer questions that the students have. That process can take some time, and that's why it's a 3-hour process. But folks are welcome to stop by and see how this works.
All right. Well, it sounds like an awful lot of fun, and I'm looking forward to participating, and we appreciate your part in putting this all together and taking the time to visit with us today. Suzanne Flanagan with the MU School of Law. I guess we'll see you tomorrow.
All right. Thank you so much.
And to get ready for the event, we talked with one of the professors that's really putting it all together, His Honor Harold Lowenstein. He is Western District Appeals Judge for the state of Missouri. In addition to his work with the MU Law School, we visited with him from his chambers in Kansas City. Here's the judge on Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. I want to first of all hear a little bit more about just why this is taking place. This is for a class you teach at the law school, correct?
That is absolutely correct. It is It is a 1-hour summer school course on how to select a jury. The fancy people call it voir dire, and I pronounce it with the good Midwestern Missouri twang of voir dire. And it's the class involves solely the picking, questioning, and picking of a jury.
And so they're taking about 40 of us, myself included, to just be part of a big panel. And these guys will ask us a bunch of questions, and they kind of get some practice in selecting a jury, right?
Absolutely. So that the first time they do it is here in class as opposed to being in a real life case. And they will have to, on both sides, there will be a student judge, there will be three lawyers on each side, and we'll go for about 3 hours with them asking questions of all of you on the veneer panel to select which one they would think would be most helpful for either the plaintiff or defendant, their clients.
Suzanne Flanagan, who's also over in the law school, kind of put together this group. Is there anything in particular other than just go out and find 40 bodies that can sit in a chair, or was there something specifically that you were looking for in putting this big group together?
Darren, we're really looking for diversity and something that would really equate to a real-life panel that would be brought in the Circuit Court of Boone County.
Judge Harold Lowenstein with us. He is the Western District Appeals Judge in Kansas City, also teaches here at the University of Missouri Law School, and will be part of a mock jury panel taking place at the School of Law tomorrow afternoon. You mentioned that this is part of a class, and students learning obviously a lot of different things. For people who are not nearly as bright as law school students, such as myself, boil down just to simple to understand terms what you've taught them about this process and what you're hoping that they will learn through the practical application tomorrow.
Well, we're trying to teach them how to pick people who hopefully will be sympathetic with their cause and in the long run will be fair and impartial. That is really the bottom line. And to sum it up in a nutshell, the Constitution of both the United States and of the state of Missouri guarantee every litigant, civil or criminal, in a trial by jury, that they will be tried by a fair and impartial jury of 12 people. And that's what we're trying to find. And the questions will go to determining whether or not somebody is biased or prejudiced. In other words, not necessarily that they're a bad person. And the bias or prejudice could just basically be people who are anti-police and would not believe a policeman.
Mm-hmm.
And on the other end of the spectrum, a person who would believe a policeman no matter what over a citizen. Well, it doesn't mean they're bad people. It's just getting at those bias and prejudice. You just want 12 people who will sit and listen to the evidence and will carefully weigh it and come up with a decision.
I can't count the number of times I've heard people either who've actually gotten a form that says they've been called to jury duty or people that were just talking kind of in random terms about being selected for a jury that have made cracks about, well, I should go in and say this and this and then I won't have to do it. Does anybody ever come along and question that?
Yes, and you're under oath. So that is sort of the old equalizer. If people don't want to serve, a lot of times the lawyers will agree to excuse a person. But the mere fact that you don't want to isn't reason enough. And can I get up on my soapbox?
No,
for just
please
a minute?
Go right ahead, because I think you're probably going to go about where I was going to anyway, because I hear a lot of people say they don't want to do it, and it's hard to have a judicial system that works if nobody will go be on the jury.
Exactly, because it's supposed to be a fair cross-section of the community and nobody excluded because of race or gender. But if people do their best to get out of it, or find a reason to get out of it or out of jury duty, it is, and now I'm up on my soapbox, Benjamin Franklin, Jefferson, all of the founding fathers, and Hamilton all said that serving on a jury is the most important function that citizens can partake in. I mean, my ancestors came from Germany and Russia, and they didn't come over here to avoid something like that. They 98% of all the jury trials in the entire world are in this country. It is an American phenomenon, and rather than have a judge or a couple of judges or a couple of learned people deciding the facts of your case, people that set up this country decided it's best to let justice be amongst your compatriots, and the people who are in your community will decide the case.
The reason I asked that, I actually, this was not a personal experience, but with my dad, I got called onto a grand jury in Oklahoma City for what was, it turned out to be a capital murder trial. This was going to be a biggie. And there were two or three people, he said, that got up and expressed a certain view about the death penalty, and had either one of the attorneys or the judge, and I forget which, but somebody really questioned them very hard on that and tried to discover if this was something that they really felt strongly about, that they'd really put a lot of thought into, or if it was just kind of a throwaway line, as opposed to the one trial I've been involved with as a jurist, which was a guy who the neighbors had called in because he had a bunch of trash in his yard.
Well, there are two kinds of ways you can get taken off a jury. One's called for cause, and that would be basically that you can't follow the instructions of the court. And in the first case you talked about, someone who has set and positive concrete thoughts on the death penalty that they could not sign a verdict that called for death. Well, in a case where the state is asking for the death penalty, if a person can't follow the court's instructions and couldn't find it no matter what, then that person is not fair and impartial, because you have to be able to follow the law. And if people have well-founded or established religious or moral beliefs that taking a life is improper no matter what, then they probably shouldn't be on the jury, because they can't be fair to one side or the other. And that's all you really want, is somebody who is capable of being fair. You get into a much closer situation where your next-door neighbor is, and I hate to harken back to the law enforcement person, where their next-door neighbor's a policeman and they like him.
Right.
Well, does that mean that you are off for cause? No, not necessarily. If they say they can be fair and impartial or listen to the case and follow the instructions, then they can't be taken off for what's called a strike for cause. But the lawyers, depending on the type of case, are allowed in civil cases three what are called peremptory challenges, where each side can take three people off for whatever reason they want other than because of race or gender. And you end up with the first 12 people left on the list, starting from the top down, and those people will serve on the jury. And it may very well be an answer to one of your other questions, that someone who has not answered anything or said anything other than their name will end up being on the jury.
Okay. Judge Hal Lowenstein with us. He's a Western District Appeals judge for State of Missouri out of Kansas City, and part of a mock jury panel that will be taking place at the MU Law School tomorrow afternoon. In reading a little bit of the information that they sent over here about this, I also see that your wife, Wanda, is part of the whole process. Tell me about Wanda and what she's going to do here.
Well, Wanda's part in the class is teaching the first day a segment on observing and paying attention to nonverbal communication, so that the lawyers who are conducting the voir dire examination watch for facial expressions, intonations, the crossed arms, the mouth turned down. A good one is nodding of the head when other people are answering questions, showing your agreement or assent to what's being said. And she is not a lawyer. Wanda is a professional, or it's an executive coach, and has really gotten interested in the process because I have, and she's just darn good at it. And they basically teach the law students not just to stand up and ask a bunch of questions, but to actually observe people and see if a lot of times their gestures indicate that they're either uncomfortable with their answer or, in some cases, not telling the truth.
How much of society's attitude toward the system, and particularly towards attorneys, is spilling over into how many people are interested in getting into the law, and what type of people, or the quality? Are you getting enough good students coming through now that we've got good people that'll keep the system running, or are you really struggling to find them?
Well, I will, and this may sound, there's an objection in law called self-serving where you're saying something that helps yourself. I can say this honestly, even though I have a built-in bias and prejudice as being an MU undergrad and law school grad, that this group this year from MU is just about the best. Well, it is the best we've ever had at MU.
Fantastic.
And they get better every year. We also teach the class at Washburn every year, and we alternate MU and UMKC here in Kansas City. I can honestly say that, and every year we teach at Washburn and Topeka, that this year's class at Washburn is just absolutely unbelievable and did really well last Saturday in theirs. It is my fervent hope that the group at MU tomorrow that you all will see, these are crackerjack law students, and they, and unless I miss my guess, will just be excellent attorneys. They are sincere, they're honest, and just real bright people, and I can hardly wait to hear how they do. I mean, they were, I was so proud of them in class 2 weeks ago.
That's...
So to make a long story nauseating here, I think you're really getting good people that are going into law. There are some who do it maybe because of the so-called glamour of it, which it's like a lot of things. I always wanted to play Major League Baseball, and it may not be that glamorous. So, but I think you're really getting a high caliber of people who really want to do something good. And I'm seeing a lot of people that want to go into areas of the law where, Darren, they're not going to make much money.
Yeah.
Juvenile court law, there are lots of just downfalls and bad things that happen, and it can be somewhat dissatisfying. But there are lots of law students who want to do that.
The mock trial, again, the mock jury panel will be tomorrow, 1 to 4, at the University of Missouri Columbia Law School. I'm going to be one of a group of a few dozen folks from which the students who are learning about the ideas of how to choose a jury will pick their jury. And as the judge was telling us earlier, it is open to the public. If folks want to come out and watch this all take place, I think that this is a process that a lot of people are curious about. They might enjoy kind of watching how it all goes down tomorrow. It'll be, again, 1 to 4 at the University Law School, and we want to thank you very much. You've been very generous with the time, Judge Hal Lowenstein. Again, he is the Western District Appeals Court judge for the state of Missouri out of Kansas City. And, Your Honor, thanks for the time today.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate your interest, and I just want to thank Suzanne Flanagan and the others for being so helpful and getting folks such as you to volunteer to do it. Thanks a lot, and the bailiff will be keeping his eye on you tomorrow,
okay.
Darren.
I wouldn't blame him a bit. I'm liable to try to sneak something in to eat that we shouldn't, or maybe
great.
A little
thanks for having me.
A little bitty TV set to watch the soccer game or something like that. Gotta watch out for me. So
okay.
It's Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. I'm Darren Helwedge, and our closing moments will celebrate some awards given to KOMU-TV8 recently for their journalism work, and then close out with a few moments with former KBIA news producer Kyle Palmer about a national Edward R. Murrow Award KBIA just won. It's a very prestigious award. Great moment for all of us here at KBIA. It's KBIA, your NPR station. We are joined by Monica Stone King. Monica is the promotions manager for KOMU-TV8 and KJWB Channel 5 here in Columbia. And rather like the KBIA newsroom, the folks at Channel 8 are celebrating several awards that have been given recently. And being they are a television service of the University of Missouri, I want to visit with Monica for just a few moments about the awards. Monica, thanks a lot for the time today.
No problem. Thanks for interviewing me.
You've got a stack of them to talk about here. I want to start with the Murrow simply because it's also a group that has given KBIA some awards, and we'll be talking about that in another segment of the show. But the Murrow Award that you guys won recently for one of the pieces that Sarah Hill did, and she does such interesting stuff with Sarah's stories.
Right, and this is actually her second Murrow Award for that series.
Fantastic.
And this one, she went down with our videographer, Gary Grigsby,
right,
to South Asia after the aftermath of the tsunami. Basically, she followed those who witnessed it and experienced it,
right,
followed those people around, and did special reports.
Monica Stone King with us from Channel A, KOMU. One of the other awards that you've won recently was from the Kansas City Press Club, the Heart of America Award, and this actually was for your website. It was named the top television website for the area.
We relaunched it in December,
right.
And what our website now entails is streaming video. So if you miss our newscast, if you're driving home and you're stuck in a traffic jam, you can still watch it on our website. And then we have special stories that are exclusive to the web, and people can go and interact with other people in their community on our billboards and on our blogs, and they can interact with our on-air personality, ask them direct questions, and they'll get direct answers. We've just done a complete overhaul of our website, and we're very proud of it.
One of the things that got mentioned specifically in the release that you sent out about that was the KOMU mobile. Tell me a little more about how that works and what that's about.
All you have to do is go to our website, and it's not a register type of thing, but put in your mobile phone number, and you can get email updates and internet updates from our website. You can access our web on your cell phone. And then what we're also pushing along with mobile under the mobile umbrella is that if there's severe weather coming, for an example,
right,
you'll get a text message to your mobile phone.
Monica Stone King with us from Channel 8, and we're talking about several awards that they have won recently. Another from the Missouri Broadcasters Association, a group that anybody that's walked into a TV or radio station in the state is quite aware of, and you won a Broadcast Excellence Awards from them that really deals with a lot of different things that you do.
Again, Sarah Hill and Gary Grigsby won first place for their documentary,
mm-hmm.
and that was the South Asia piece. So they were honored by two organizations for their phenomenal work. We also won for best sports coverage. Eric Blumberg did a phenomenal job on a story called Softball Pitcher, and it was
This was the girl from Salisbury.
Right.
Yeah, boy, that was a obviously very memorable piece.
And then we also received for our investigative piece for our Target 8, we did a series called Battered Justice. It was basically a three-part investigation on domestic violence cases and how they're being handled.
And the other one, of course, that recently has been added to the stack of several awards that you've gotten was the Station of the Year Award out of the Kansas City Press Club. And talk a little bit about that one.
We're very excited about that. And basically how they judge that, for lack of a better word, competition, is at the end of the day, they total up all the awards that you've won. And I'd like to think blew other stations out of the water, but we had the most amount of awards.
Terrific.
So they honored us with the Station of the Year Award.
Well, Monica Stone King, again with the KOMU and part of the university and part of the journalism school, take a lot of pride in some of these awards that have been given out recently. We appreciate the time a lot. You guys keep up the good work.
Well, thank you. You too. Congratulations on your show.
Thanks very much. It's also worth noting that KBIA has actually won a National Edward R. Murrow Award for reporting in year 2005 for Small Market Radio Documentary. The award was shared by three of our reporters, including producer Kyle Palmer. Those of you who listen to the show regularly will remember that we talked with Kyle recently. He's no longer with the station, is in Houston getting ready for a Teach for America assignment teaching there, but you were certainly a big part of the reporting that won this award. And Kyle, first of all, congratulations. This is something that everybody at KBIA is really proud of.
Oh, well, thank you very much. I was really surprised and gratified when I found out, and it took a lot of work, and I just hope that this kind of shows what kind of work the KBIA does on a regular basis.
This award was given for a piece, What's on the Line, about the New Madrid Fault and how people might be preparing or not preparing. You worked on this piece with our news director, Sarah Ashworth, and with journalism student reporter August Skamaka. Talk a little bit about how this piece came together, because it really is different when you're working with a group like that rather than just going out and getting a report on your own.
Well, I must admit, I didn't come up with the idea. I mean, that was more on Sarah and Augustin, but I think it was probably about mid-September or late September, or early October of last year, we started kind of brainstorming ideas in the wake of Hurricane Katrina. Of course, all the media spotlight had been turned on the unpreparedness of the Gulf Coast and the New Orleans region for that disaster, and so that got us to think about whatever natural phenomenon in the Midwest could threaten Missouri and could threaten the KBIA's listing area. Obviously, hurricanes aren't on that list, and tornadoes are unfortunately pretty common, as we saw earlier this year. But an earthquake is something that not a lot of people think about, but is still a very prevalent threat in the region, especially with the New Madrid Fault on the southeast corner of the state. And so we just started to look into it, and not really knowing where it would go, but kind of realizing that it would be a longer piece and kind of expanding it out to a half hour. I think originally we thought it may even could go 1 hour complete, but we settled on a half hour, and it probably took at least two trips down to the southeast part of the state. We traveled all the way down to Memphis on a weekend in mid-October of last year, and went to the University of Memphis. They have a wonderful earthquake research program, mm-hmm. A seismology program that is really one of the best in the country. You wouldn't think of it being in the Midwest.
The difference we have both with KBIA and at Channel 8, we're not just are you got professional journalists working on getting the news, but there's also the teaching mission that comes along with being the university. And I think the fact that this award came from a team that's made up of an undergraduate student, a graduate student, and one of the professional members of the station, that's kind of an unusual group to put together in that fashion.
Yeah, and it was a true collaboration. I think if you listen to the piece, I'm kind of the main anchor, but Sarah and August contribute significant amounts of time and work and energy to the final production of the piece. And so it really was like the three of us set out on a road trip to go down to Memphis, and we were there together, and we did all this work together, and we sat down, and we wrote it together, we edited it together, and that is one of the things that is special about the Missouri School of Journalism, both at KOMU and KBIA, and the Missourian as well on the print side, is that you do have this professional academic cohesion where you have people working in the real journalism world while at the same time teaching and passing on their skills. And
we wish you a lot of luck. I remember visiting with you before about Teach for America, and I think that's a terrific project and look forward to seeing the success there. But we're happy to catch up with you and talk a little bit about the Murrow Award. Congratulations for the to the whole KBIA newsroom and to Kyle Palmer, one of the award winners of that National Murrow Award for What's on the Line. Kyle, appreciate the time today.
Thank you, Darren. Always good to catch up with KBIA.
And that's Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou for this week. Our thanks to Kyle Palmer, also KOMU's Monica Stone King, and from the MU Law School, Judge Hal Lowenstein and Susan Flanagan. Thanks for listening in. We'll be back next week with Arts on Monday. Thinking Out Loud, our one-year anniversary program, going to be a good one next Tuesday night. And then another Thinking Out Loud Fridays at Mizzou. That's all next week. Till then, I'm Darren Hellwedge. Have a great weekend.